demands that you show appreciation. And the Lord Jesus told us a story in the Bible of the 10 lepers, rather. No, he didn't tell us a story. It was him that it happened to. The Bible tells us a story. Jesus healed 10 lepers. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. They were going. They saw that they were okay. The Bible says only one came back and said, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. And Jesus asked the question, are there not 10 that were healed? How come there has not returned any to show thanks to God except this stranger, a Samaritan? Now, my emphasis is the statement that the Lord Jesus made to him. He said, go, thy faith hath made thee whole. What was his faith? The revelation he had about thanksgiving. And Jesus said, this, your action of thanksgiving has made you whole. That lets you know that your blessing or your testimony is not complete until you give thanks. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the children of darkness, they are in their own generation wiser than the children of light. If we belong to one occultic kingdom and they say this is thanksgiving time, and for thanksgiving, every one of us must donate blood, they will do it to the letter. But when it comes to Christians, because it's grace, God loves you, we abuse it. And that's why many Christians don't grow beyond a certain level. The life of a believer is supposed to be ever advancing, ever progressing. It's not only your revelation that should progress, even your life should progress. But there are little things that we don't do that keeps us stagnated. Part of it is thanksgiving. Our pastor told us, he said, if he's spending 2 hours to pray, 1 hour, 45 minutes, is giving thanks. A pastor of a church like this that is facing many battles. He said, if he's spending 2 hours for prayers, 1 hour, 45 minutes is for thanksgiving. So that should let us know that thanksgiving is not something we take for granted. And don't say this, that, this. No. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. So don't come and thank him with your mouth only. Let a substance go with it. It doesn't have to be money. If you say, oh, I don't have money, you have something precious, you can use it to give thanks to God. It doesn't have to be money. It might be anything. You have business items. You can call me some of your business and say, Father, I am thanking you. That is thanksgiving. And we want you to know the things that come to church, apart from what the church may need, maybe fans and any other thing that the church may need, things that come in, the church will also give them to others. Less privileged orphanages or smaller churches that we need also. So don't think you are bringing your thanksgiving for the pastor to have many things to take to his house and he'll be fat. No. We are more revelated than that in this church. Even your pastors are going to be part of the thanksgiving. So please, don't thank God with mere mouth. Don't thank him with words only. Think of his goodness. If you say God has not been good to you, from the beginning of the year, you are still standing. The breath of life is still flowing in you. So it is worth appreciating God for. Prepare for it. Plan for it. It is for the whole year. So prepare a worthy offering to show appreciation. 3rd of December, our groups and departments, the heads of groups and departments will let us know. Because we are thanking God both as an individual, as a family, and as a group in the church. So make sure, please, we beg you, make sure you prepare properly for the thanksgiving. The Lord will bless you as you do so in Jesus' name. Okay? The chance, privilege has been given to me once again to exhort us today. And in exhorting us, there's a special song. It's not a special song, we all know it. In fact, we sang it last week. But we preachers, we are inspired to preach. We don't go and read a book and come and say, this is it, this is it. No. Just as a prophecy comes, that is how the word of God comes to us preachers. It is inspiration. So I want us to listen to that song we sang last week again. Because the title of my exhortation this morning is that song. The old time religion. That is what I want to talk about today, the old time religion. So if the IT will help us to have that song on the screen, the old time religion, and let's sing it together. If you know it, feel free and join them. If you don't know it, look at the screen and learn. The Lord will bless you as you do so. Understand. You think we are talking about, you know, all these type of maybe holiness churches, churches like Deeper Life, Holiness Revival, you know, all those holier than thou church where a brother cannot even shake a sister. No, the old time religion is much more than that. The topic of my exhortation is the old time religion. And please, as I use the word religion here, I am talking of the Christian faith. So don't come and confuse me with grammar. The inspiration is from that song. So we are referring to Christianity. The usage of the word religion here, we are referring to Christianity. Christianity today is understood in the story that we see in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3 from verse 1. I will read it fast. Ezra chapter 3 from verse 1 to 13. And when the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man unto Jerusalem. Please follow the story clearly. Then stood up Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis. They did what? They rose up to build the altar of God. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings, morning and evening. They kept also the feast of tabernacles, as it is written. And they offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward, offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated. And of everyone that were willing, offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Now, in the second, I've jumped a verse. They gave also money unto the masons and to the competents, and meat and drink and oil, unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of the brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to do what? To set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood up Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. The sons of Anadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising God and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. Brethren, listen attentively. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Why? Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, listen to verse 12 and verse 13. It says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were they? Who were old men. Who were ancient men. Who were not young men. They were old men. They had seen the first house. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, what did they do? They wept with a loud voice. They cried. And many shouted aloud for joy. Verse 13. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Do you understand that story? This was after the captivity of the children of Israel when they came back from Babylon after spending 70 years in Babylon. Before they went to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and destroyed the beautiful temple that Solomon built. When this temple was dedicated, the Shekinah glory of the Lord came down. The Bible says that the priest could not minister because of the presence of God. The temple of Solomon was the most beautiful edifice in the whole world. It was made of gold, covered with gold. It was such a beauty to behold. 70 years after the temple had been destroyed, now 70 years after, they came to erect another altar, another temple for worship. And when they did, the Bible said the people were rejoicing. We have built back the temple. But there were some men that were there 70 years ago. God preserved them with long life. They had not died. So by the time they are seeing another dedication of another temple, they started crying.
They wept. But some people were rejoicing. Some people were jubilating. The old men, the ancient men, were weeping. Brethren, this is the story of Christianity today. Are we together? There are two types of Christians in this generation. The Christians, the ancient men Christians that have the old time religion, and the present Christian, the young men Christian, who have the new time religion. Everywhere you go to today, oh, revival, Jesus, Jesus is good. Oh, Jesus. Men of God have become celebrities. Everywhere you go to, especially in this part of the world, Christianity, Christianity, Christianity. If you and I should sit down and do a game as children used to do, name of churches, name of churches. I start by saying Assemblies of God, B, Baptist, C, Catholic, D, Deeper Life, E, Eagles Faith, F, Faith Mission, G, Gospel Faith Mission, I, International Church of Christ, J, Jesus Christ's Power Ministry, K, which one is K? Kingdom Life. From A to Z, there's a name of church. And people are rejoicing that Christianity is everywhere. If you check statistics, they'll tell you there are over 1 billion Christians in the world today. Oh, great revival. But the ancient men are weeping because they saw the temple when it was dedicated in the days of Solomon. They knew the glory. Do you notice that this time around, there was no glory that came down? Eh? Oh, maybe somebody does not understand what we are saying. Let's read what happened in the first dedication. 1 Kings. Let's read what happened in the first dedication. 1 Kings chapter, is it chapter 8? 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's take it from verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 8 from verse 10. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, what happened? That the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For what? The glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. But in the second dedication, 70 years after, there was no mention of any glory. So the old men that had experienced reality before, say, look at you. There is an adage in Nigeria that says that what an old man will see sitting down, a young man will not see even if he climbs a palm tree. So the young men, we are rejoicing. We have a temple. We have a temple. Ah, the old men, I could see them weeping. Ah, crying. It is speaking of Christianity, brethren. The ancient men are weeping. The young ones are crying. Brethren, the ancient men represent the people with the old-time religion. Are we together? These people, when they see what is called Christianity today, when they see what is presented as Christianity today, they cry. They cry. Maybe you don't know, but I want to bust the bubble for you. That there are two versions of Christianity today. Old time Christianity and new time Christianity. We saw it in the story that we read last week. The story in 1 Kings chapter 13, from 1 Kings chapter 12, from verse 8. That two manner of people gave counsel to Rehoboam. But what happened? But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and we stood before him. Verse 9. And he said unto them, what counsel give you that we may answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, this is what you will tell them. Your father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Verse 11. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but me, I will chastise you with scorpions. So Rehoboam, he forsook the counsel of the old men. It's okay, we read it last week. And took the counsel of the new men. And what happened? He lost the kingdom. Brethren, the only religion or the only type of Christianity, I said it last week, I'll say it again today, that will take you to heaven is the old-time Christianity. This new type of Christianity that we see in this generation is a fake Christianity. Whereas, it can make you something or somebody on this earth. It can never give you true salvation. The God that we serve, God, is old school. Our God is old school. Let me tell you why I say God is old school. Once he settles his word, once he speaks his word concerning something, it is settled. Follow my thoughts. Once God gives a principle or a formula, he does not come back to add to it or take from it. So that old one he gave, that is where he remains. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. What does it say? I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Can you see it? Once God tells you this is my formula for salvation, it does not come and add to it or subtract from it. Until that dispensation for which that formula was given, until that period of time elapses, God does not change his program. God is old school. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. Every word of God is what? Pure. He is a shield unto them that trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Are we together? God is not the author of the new version of Christianity today. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Praise the living God. Don't be distracted. Sorry about that. Praise the living God. Two versions of Christianity facing us that call ourselves Christians. The one that the old men saw and the one that is presented to us today. But God has one. And that one that he gave initially is his own. Any other thing that comes after the one that God has given is new. Brothers and sisters hearing me around the world today, God will never honor the new version of Christianity. God will never accept the new version of Christianity because he is not the author of that version. He is not the one that inspires that version. God will only honor and accept the one he laid down from the beginning. You know why David had a problem with God? We know the story in this church. After David became king, a very zealous man, the Bible said he consulted with the elders of Israel. The ark of God, the ark of God. In the days of Saul, we did not inquire of this ark. Let's go and bring the ark of God back. Let's read it, First Chronicles chapter 13. So that somebody will follow the story. First Chronicles 13 from verse 11. First Chronicles 13 from verse 11. And what did he do? They gathered together First Chronicles chapter 13 from verse 11. And they took the ark of God. But in the old time way, there was a way that God had laid down on how to carry the ark. Please, can we have that scripture? First Chronicles 13, verse 11. So that somebody will see the story. There was an old time way of carrying the ark. David refused to go the old time way, but chose to bring a new type of way to carry the ark of God. Take it from verse 9. Take it from verse 9. Take it from verse 9. IT. It's like the person on that mixer is sleeping. And when they came onto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. If you read verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 13, it says, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might, verse 8, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And they continued and they continued. When they came, they placed the ark of God upon a cow, an oxen, upon an animal. And it reaches one place, the animal protested, the ark of God should not be on me. And the ark wanted to fall. A good man of God wanted to help God. God, don't let your ark fall, please. God of Israel, let me help you. Let not your ark fall. Why are we reading? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Verse 11. And David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. God killed him there. Why? It is still the same thing. Old way and new way. I keep saying this because it's a burden in my heart. So that you will not follow what is popular and end up missing the kingdom of heaven. So that you will not follow what is famous and end up missing the rapture. So that you will not follow the masses and end up going to hell. The only Christianity that will take a man to heaven is the old-time Christianity. The apostles knew that a time will come when Christianity will become a Christianity of different versions. Why do you think in this generation, one Bible, one Jesus, one faith, but thousands of denominations? One Bible. In Ephesians 4:4, it says one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But thousands of denominations. Why is it so? 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4 makes it clear. It says there will be another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. So this should let you know that another version of Christianity will come. And brethren, it has come already. Unknown to many, they call on Jesus. They go to church on Sunday. They carry the Holy Bible. But their version of Christianity is not the old original version. If sincerity alone will take a man to heaven, God should not have killed Uzzah in the story we read. If sincerity alone will take a man to heaven, God should not have made a breach upon Uzzah in the story we read. God has his formula for salvation. God has his way, his principle, his direction and directives laid down for man to follow if man will ever be saved. Satan knows this. And just as he did in the garden, after God gave the old time way, don't touch this fruit, he came with another new gospel. You shall not surely die. And the woman, being deceived by Satan, partook of it. And see where we are today. Hallelujah. If you want to go to heaven, follow the old time way. If you want to make heaven, follow the old time way.
It is easy for us in this ministry to come and tell people anything if our focus is here. Ministry today is an enterprise. People go into ministry and they make money. See, if you see the account balance of some pastors, you will close your business and make yourself a pastor. And brothers, right, fine. If you see the account balance of some pastors, sir, you will close down your business and put Apostle Ifeanyi in Chukwu. That is what ministry has turned to, fine. And many people follow this way because it is so motivating, it is so sweet, it is so attractive, it is shiny, but yet it is not the new, it is not the old way. Praise the living God. I'm laying emphasis before we go deeper into the message. Once again, I repeat, if you want to go to heaven, follow the old time way. So what is this old time religion? Brother Lumde, you have been shouting, old time religion, old time religion, old time religion. What is this old time Christianity you are talking about? After all, we are all calling on the name of Jesus. After all, I'm not fornicating, I'm not living bad. What do you mean? After all, I pray, I fast, I go to church every day. Is it more than that for me to go to heaven? What is this old-time Christianity you are talking about? Any Christianity that denies the cross is not old-time Christianity. The Christianity that showcases the cross to the world is the old-time Christianity. The Christianity that showcases the cross to the world is the old-time Christianity. The cross is what? The symbol of our faith. In this church, we know the popular hymn we used to sing. On a hill far away stood an old ragged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It says, and I love the old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So will I do. So I will cherish. Has it ever occurred to you why they use that statement? Why the writer use old? See the hymn, see the chorus on the screen. Why couldn't he just say, so I'll cherish the rugged cross? Why was there an adjective of old? Why? Because a time will come when the cross of Jesus will be forsaken and neglected. It will become a museum artifact. And instead of people to bear the cross, they will hold on to other things. And it is now. The old-time Christianity is the Christianity that shows forth the cross to the world. When we talk about the cross represents many things. Number one, the cross is not an emblem, a chain, a pendant that you hang and show. That is not what the cross means to us Christians. Jesus said something in Luke chapter 9 verse 23. That if a man will follow me, let him deny self and take up his cross daily and do what? And follow me. That means if you must follow Jesus, you must follow Jesus with a cross. Brother, sister, where is your cross? If you must follow Jesus, there must be a cross to carry. Any Christianity that tells you you can follow Jesus without a cross is not the old-time Christianity. The cross is a symbol of self-denial. If you must follow Jesus, the old-time gospel will tell you that you must follow him with self-denial. Let's read that scripture again. Luke 9, 23. So some people just come to Jesus. He said, if any man, any woman will come after me, what should he do? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and do what? And follow me. It is a symbol of self-denial. Minus me, plus Jesus. Eh? Minus me, plus Jesus, equals the cross. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christianity does not tell us today. Everything doesn't go in Christianity. In your presence, anything goes. Yes. Everything doesn't go in Christianity. Our faith is a faith that requires self-denial. Apostle Paul began to list the things he lost in order to follow Jesus. And he said, I count them as cow sheep so that I will win Jesus for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, my Lord. When we come to Jesus, we must deny self, our ways, our thoughts, ourself to follow him. Christianity that does not preach this is not old time Christianity. It is new time Christianity. Hallelujah. The cross is a symbol of what? Crucifixion. Jesus bore his cross. At the end, what happened to him and the cross? He died on the cross. If Jesus carried his cross and it led him to Calvary, and he was nailed and crucified on the cross, and he said, if you will follow him, you should carry your cross and follow him. If Jesus died on the cross, what does that tell you and I? We will do what? We will die on the cross. Before somebody will say, Brother Loom, they say you should go and carry cross and kill yourself. No. It is your flesh that must die. The flesh must be crucified. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said what? I am crucified with Christ. If Apostle Paul is a follower of Jesus, that means he had a cross. The cross Apostle Paul carried was not a pendant on a chain. What happened to him with the cross? He died on that cross. I am crucified with Christ. So the version of Christianity that doesn't tell you that your flesh must die in order for you to serve God is not the old time Christianity. Since you began following Jesus, brother, sister, hearing me today, what has it cost you? It cost me fornication to follow Jesus. It cost me partying to follow Jesus. What did it cost you? Or what is it costing you? This Christianity that some of us practice today, where we are moved all the time by the dictates of our flesh, is not the old time Christianity. In the old time Christianity, it was necessary that the flesh died. In the old time Christianity, evidence you are a disciple of Jesus was that the flesh was dead. But in the Christianity of today, our flesh is alive. We are even nurturing it and nourishing it. And we are pampering the flesh. And we come to God, we are singing praise to God. We are pampering the flesh. It is in this new version of Christianity that you will rebuke through a sermon in the name of the Lord. And they will hate you. I've seen it in this church. You will rebuke. When the Bible says, rebuke, reproof, exhort with all long suffering, that the time will come when people will not give in to sound doctrine. It's not easy to stand at the pulpit and preach, except you want to preach, God is good. It's not easy to tell somebody you are doing wrong. I have made enemies. Some of them have left this church. We didn't pursue them, they left. I've made enemies because I stood at the pulpit to rebuke. It is in the new version of Christianity In the old time religion, Apostle Paul began to compromise. And Apostle Peter began to compromise when he saw certain Jews that came. And Apostle Paul was there. Apostle Paul, that just new convert. Apostle Paul. He looked at Peter and he stood up in front of them all. He said, "You are not walking according to the truth of the gospel." Did Peter fight him? When Peter was writing his letter, he began to acknowledge the wisdom of Paul. But in the New Time religion, don't you ever tell anybody, "You didn't do right. Your dressing is too tight. You should not dress this way. You should do this." They'll hate you. "I'm on my way to glory land." It's a lie. That type of Christianity cannot take you to heaven. Psalm 141 verse 5. David said, "Let the righteous smite me." He said, "It shall be an excellent oil in my head." Psalm 141 verse 5. But today, say anything that displeases somebody in any way, because you are preaching, they will fight you. It says, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." So the Christianity that pampers the flesh, that does not tell you that your flesh will kill you, is not the old time Christianity. People go to church and are still fornicators, are still liars. People go to church and are still held bound by the fashions of the world. People go to church and are still lying to make money. And they come to church regularly and nothing is convicting them. They're not even praying, "Father, this weakness, please." No brokenness, no contrition in the heart. That is not the old time Christianity. In the old time Christianity, when you are excommunicated from the church because of a misbehavior, you will start fasting and praying that God should have mercy, let them restore you. Because once you leave that covering, it's like a soldier leaving his barrack, leaving his base, where he's supposed to be stationed. Once you leave that place, Satan can deal with you. Excommunication meant it was like death to a believer. When Apostle Paul said, "Hand him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh," in 1 Corinthians 5, what he was speaking was excommunicate him. The person started crying. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, he said, "Restore him back." But today, I'm no more coming to that church. How can the pastor come and speak anyhow to me? You don't have the old time religion. You have a religion that pampers your pride and feeds your pride. Imagine me. I will stop giving offering and tithe in that church. How can they just come? How can this small boy be talking to me anyhow in the pulpit? Your pride is being fed. You don't have the old time religion. What you have will not take you to heaven. So the religion that accommodates the flesh is not old time. Let me move on. I just hope I'll be able to round this up on time. The cross is also a symbol of trials. So the old time religion is a religion that tells you that when you are following Christ, trials and persecutions will come. So all those things of, "I'm a child of God," then no trials, no persecution, everything must go smooth and calm, no battle. That is not the old time religion. We in this generation, we are even lucky. When the apostles received the word of God, many ended up dying physically. Many ended up dying physically. The first church age, the second church age, it was a thing of joy for a Christian to be killed. In this generation, we cannot suffer small persecution for Jesus, so that they will not start calling me names in my working place. My skirt is too long. My clothes is too free. So that they will not start calling me names. Let me bend. I will not wear earring, but I will wear this kind of body or this type of skirt, but a short skirt. A Christian. When we say dress modestly, it's not only in the church. When we say dress modestly, it is not only for church. In fact, it is not inside the church that you practice Christianity. It is outside. Everybody entered these garments at the gate. Everybody has put on a cloak of righteousness. So
So when anybody enters, shalom, shalom, God bless you, God bless you. We are all assuming ourselves to be Christians. It is when we go out. One day I was in Arena Market in Oshodi. I saw a sister in the Lord. She didn't see me. I was shouting her name, but it's like she didn't hear me. I'm awaiting the sister where I was afraid to say shalom. Up to now, she doesn't know. I was afraid to say shalom. Because the skirt that she wore, oh Jesus. That skirt she wore, no betrothal. But the skirt that she wore, and she's married. I was afraid to say shalom in my heart. So when she didn't hear me and didn't answer me, I was buying something. I was just thanking God in my heart. Thank God so she didn't answer me. You don't practice Christianity inside this building. It's outside. So the old time faith accommodates sufferings for Jesus. Part of the suffering for Jesus is sometimes denying yourself of a luxury. Listen to me. Denying yourself of a luxury so that you can meet the necessity of another person. I don't know if you understood that statement. It is your finance, it is your resource. You can accommodate the luxury you want. But here is a brother, here is a sister that has a necessity. There's a difference between luxury and necessity. Having 3 cars is not a necessity to me, it's a luxury. Having 2 is not a luxury to me because my wife doesn't have one. But I, in my little estate, having 3, 4, 5 cars mean, I'm not making it a dog. I say, I, Olumide, in my little estate, having 4, 5, 3 cars is a luxury to me. It's not a necessity. So imagine I have the money to buy 2 cars immediately. And here is a brother that needs money. He needs capital to start a business. The cross indicates that I deny myself that luxury so that I meet up with his necessity. But the Christianity we see today is a Christianity where the poor are around you, they are suffering, but you are coming to give God glory for more luxury. Apostle Paul said, do you shame them that have not? Do you despise the poor? So the old time Christianity is a Christianity that displays the cross. Crucifixion, self-denial, trials. All that we live godly in Christ, we do what? Suffer persecution. The old time Christianity is a Christianity that shows the cross. The cross is a symbol of death to the world. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. The cross is a symbol of death to the world. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the cross is not for decoration. He says, through this cross, the world is crucified to me. The world is dead to me. And me too, I am dead to the world. So the cross is not for decoration. When we talk about the cross, it is supposed to be reflected in our life. It is not for decoration. It is a life. It says, I will not boast in anything except in the cross of Jesus. And why? It is through this cross of Jesus that the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. But the Christianity of today, the world is in the church and the church in the world. The Christianity of today, the new type of Christianity, has married the world. When the Lord was telling us in James chapter 4 verse 4, that friendship with the world is enmity towards God. James 4, 4. That whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But what we see today, our faith accommodates for worldliness. And many of us don't know. This worldliness is reflected in many things. Last Sunday, I told us about the song that I said I watched the video. Spirit of Prophecy, that's the name of the group. I still saw another one this week of the same group. And I was weeping. I was weeping because I'm part of the ancient men. Because what they portray as the gospel. See, when you talk about gospel and the church, the first thing the gospel is supposed to do to you is to convict you of sin. Praise the Lord. How you know that you are listening to a living gospel, the true gospel, is that it firstly convicts you of sin. It causes you to know your wretchedness. It causes you to know your bad spiritual estate. It causes you to know your need for mercy and grace. It is that brokenness that makes you seek God. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. They began to ask Peter, "What shall we do to be saved?" That is what the gospel does. But for sinners to go to a church, to listen to sermons, and they are not convicted, they even end up as workers in the church, practicing the sin. It shows that the gospel that is being preached there is not the old time gospel. If you're a sinner in Bride Assembly, your conscience condemns you. You know the truth. You hear them. That's why you cannot openly practice your sin here. Because you know that everybody will look at you and they will know you as a hypocrite among us. So the sinners we have in Bride Assembly are secret sinners. They sin for people not to see them. Because they know that from the pulpit, we have a flag that is waved against sin in this church. So if a brother and a sister wants to fornicate in this church, they don't do it openly. They cannot be talking openly. Brother, you go see me for that hotel this weekend. I go come to your house. They can't. They either do it through chats, WhatsApp, or phone call. It is between them. That is how it is here, if sinners want to sin. But I'm talking of where they don't even know that they are living in sin. Where Christians have become worldly and nothing convicts them. We know the new pastor, the dreadlock pastor, a Hollywood actor that has become a pastor. Look at him. Does his lifestyle or appearance show anything about the gospel? I saw the interview. It was like, he's an actor. He will continue acting, blah, blah, blah. And he started looking for scriptures he does not understand to justify the reason why he's having dreadlocks and all manner of tattoos and bangles and rings on his hand. That is a new type Christianity. The old time religion, in fact, he can't even call himself Cree, not to talk of Christian. But today it is accepted. Death to the world. That is why our sisters don't dress like the world. We don't look at Tiwa Savage and Beyoncé and pick our dress pattern from them. We don't look at Naira Marley to pick our dress pattern from them. We look at the word of God to pick our dress pattern. Brethren, if you are not anchored in the old time religion, you will miss it. Apostle Peter was talking. He said, you should have a reason to tell people the reason why you are taking the stand you are taking. Many of us don't yet know the old time religion. We only, some of us, for instance, some sisters in Bride Assembly don't wear earrings simply because it is a church doctrine. If they leave Bride Assembly, they change. I saw a picture of a sister that was here in this church, got married out of the church. I think it's baby shower, that thing that pregnant women will do before they deliver. On Facebook, she posted it on Facebook. So somebody came and showed me, see your church member, Rosa. But she was in this church, she was a worker. You see? So while she was here, she did not receive the old time religion. She only came to church to fulfill a religious obligation. Until you accept this old time religion, old time Christianity, you will not prepare yourself for heaven. It is the hard way, but it is the only way. The old time Christianity is not something you play with. It is something that affects every aspect of your life. There are some of us that you have given God everything. I go, they do this for you, Father. I know go they do this one. I know go they do this one. I know go drink. I know go follow woman. But you see my business. I will continue the Egyptian method of prosperity. Ah, this one, oh, Papa. I know it's China, but I must continue to say it's Japan and Germany. Old-time Christianity will cost you that. It will cost you that. If I perish, I perish. If I remain poor, because I will sell in truth, let me remain poor. Old-time Christianity to tell you that, come, it is China I have. Oh, that is what is in the market. I am sincere. I am honest. This thing is China. If you are not buying, thank you. Then for you to put label that shows Germany. You put label, shows Germany, and it's China, and the person comes. Germany. Germany. Authentic Germany. Look at it. Look at it. It will cost you that. It will cost you that. So when we talk about old-time religion, it's not just a song we sing. It's not just for you to come and quote Bible that water baptism is in Jesus' name. Yes, that is part of it. The old-time religion is a lifestyle. The beginning of that song says, is the old-time Holy Spirit. The devil will not go near it. That's the reason why many people fear it. But it's good enough for me. Anybody that wants to go to heaven, if this is the only thing you hear or pick from Bride Assembly, go and look for the old-time Christianity. That is the only Christianity that can take you to heaven. Number two, what is the old-time Christianity? Any Christianity that has a new word of God, a new formula for salvation, any Christianity that has new doctrines, new dogmas, is a new Christianity. It's not the old-time Christianity. The old-time Christianity is the Christianity built upon the old apostolic faith. Are you getting it? So, what we see today, 99% of churches are not following the old-time Christianity. I challenge the Roman church, let them come and show us where they get prayer to Mary from. Let them come and show us where they get all the things they do from. If they say they are Christians, they are not the old-time Christians. No matter how old they say they are. I challenge the Pentecostals. Come and show us in the Bible where anointing was sold. Where water was sold. Where registration and consultation fee was paid before you saw a man of God. I challenge the Pentecostals to show us pastor misses in the Bible, apostle misses in the Bible, evangelist misses in the Bible. They will not see it. Because in the old time Christianity, women could not be part of the fivefold ministry. I challenge the Pentecostals to tell us, yes, speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I challenge them to tell us where they taught people how to speak in tongues. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Apostle Peter stood up and he spoke to the remaining 119 disciples and said, you see, you just open your mouth and say after me, Okoko, Okoko, Okoko. Then you say, Michael, Michael. It is not seen in the word of God. So any Christianity that doesn't pick their doctrines from the apostolic doctrines is not the old-time Christianity. That's why I said earlier that some of these holiness churches that some of us are saying holiness churches, they are not old-time Christianity. I challenge them to show me where there was a denomination in the Bible. Every local church is sovereign. Where they started opening branches and sending ministers, and they were sending tithe and offerings to headquarters. What we had in the old-time religion were sister churches. The pastor of a sister church is here. The church from Kaduna. We didn't send him to Kaduna to be raising tithe and offerings for us. We don't control his church in Kaduna. We don't tell him, preach this one, demote this one, raise this one. That is not the old-time way. Are we together? So Christianity that comes with a new doctrine, a new word of God, I challenge them to show us where
water baptism was done in any other formula than by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus. They can't see it. So this church did not start. Some people used to mistake Bright Assembly. Say, are you not part of these people that started following ministry of William Branham? William Branham? No. We are not followers of the ministry of William Branham. We are followers of the original apostolic faith. So where Branham stays in the apostolic faith, we stay with him. Where Branham is away from the apostolic faith, we leave him. Branham is not my father in the faith. My fathers in the faith are Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, the apostles that laid the foundation for me. Branham only came to tell us, come back to this faith of the fathers. But unfortunately, many people claim they follow Branham, but they are far from the old-time religion. Any religion, Christianity, that denies the manifestation of the power of God is not the old-time Christianity. In the old-time way, Peter and John went to the temple. The Bible said a man looked at them to ask for alms. They looked at him. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. This is what I have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. What happened? He rose up. And we saw the same Jesus heal somebody here today and touched many people. That is the old-time religion. But you go to a church, witches are head ushers. Occultic people are elders' council. No vision, no deliverance, no fire. Everything is as cold as a graveyard. That is not the old-time religion. No matter the grammar they speak, no matter the spiritoko and the holiness, God is good. They can't even talk like us. To them, people that preach like me, they are unholy. They're running your mouth anyhow. Oh, God is good. You see, you must give your life to Christ. That is no old-time religion. No. When the fire came upon Peter on the day of Pentecost, he did not go saying, God is good. When he told them, ye men of Israel, he lifted up his voice as a trumpet and sounded to them. They knew that fire had fallen. How can a man be on fire? And he said, it's only when you're cold that you do like this. Shh. When you're on fire, can you hold fire? The old time religion. We can say many things about the old time religion. What we're trying to tell you is, don't be religious. Don't just go to church. Let your faith be defined. Take a stand. Many versions of Christianity, which one will you follow? It does not end with, I go to Bride Assembly. Because there are many people, every day I see it, that come to Bride Assembly Church. But Bride Assembly is not reflecting in them. I see it every day. Regardless of the tithes, the offerings they give. Me, I see it. So that is not it. If we don't yet know, we are talking of the rapture, we don't know the agenda of God. If God decides that he will scatter the church before the rapture, just as he scattered them in Jerusalem through persecution, and there's no more gathering, will you still be a Christian? Will you still stand with this old-time faith? If you leave Lagos now, where we are seeing you physically, and go to Sweden or Norway, will you still stand as a Christian? If the whole internet was shut down, and a kind of lockdown comes in the world, and the government of the world says no more religious gathering, will you still stand as a Christian? The old-time religion, the old-time Christianity, is the Christianity that prepares you for homegoing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Apostle Paul says, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we have what? We are of all men most miserable. If the reason you are coming to church praying is so that I can make it, I can this, I can that, if that is what is defining your Christianity, you are a miserable Christian. Last week, I made a statement about not watching film and things like that.
how that the Holy Ghost convicted me when I was trying to understand the story of a film. So I was watching the recap, just about 10 minutes. The film on its own is hours. I was watching the recap because my flesh was seduced into it. I heard that a brother made a comment that does not agree with that thing of the loom they say, you know, that he will do 3 days fasting. And at the end, he will end it with an American film. When somebody was telling me, I said, it shows to me that what he is fasting for is nothing spiritual. Did you get it? He was not fasting to be more like Jesus. He was not fasting for an infilling of the Holy Ghost. Probably was fasting for my breakthrough, my visa, my marriage, that kind of thing. So that is what a religious fast. If you are fasting for, Lord, help me put this body under. Father, give me the power to be like you. If he ends the 3 days fast with a Hollywood movie, he will begin 21 days. If after the 3 days fast, he goes to turn on his TV to watch a normal Hollywood film, he will start again for 21 days. Because he will know, the flesh is still on top. He needs to die more. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brethren, reject this new type Christianity. Time will fail me to continue, but let's look at Job chapter 8, verse 8. Reject this new type of Christianity. Christianity where you serve God as if you are doing the church a favor. People come to church as if they are doing the pastor a favor. If the pastor is after your pockets, yes, you are doing him a favor. But if the pastor knows they look your face, you're on your own. This is an advice. He says, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. See it? Why? For we are but of yesterday, and we don't know anything, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Verse 10. If you ask your fathers, will they not teach you? Will they not tell you and utter words out of their hearts? Do you understand that scripture? He said, go and search. Prepare yourself. Search for the faith of the fathers. It pains me when the men of God that we have their messages in their phone, many of us, are these new modern preachers. Some of them that will tell you that some things in the Bible are not correct. Some things Apostle Paul say are not true. Then, those are the ones that are most especially the young people of this generation. It is those big apostles that move them the most. Apostles that we don't know whether they belong to a cult or not. What we are seeing now is sword, Freemason sword, that they are distributing among themselves. And those are the people you look up to as men of God. Some of us allow our trouble, our problem to distract us. There are people that were members of this church. A sister left this church to open a church. And they stopped coming. They became a member. A sister. There are some people that left this church to go and sit down under a prophet that left this church as a pastor. What do you know? All the years of shouting and teaching in bride assembly, nothing has come to you to let you know that that is not what Christianity is. Surely one day, each one of us will give account of ourselves before God. Each one of us. You say, what is the harm in it? The harm in it is that you are not taking a stand for God. That is contrary to God's will and you are promoting it. When you identify with something like that, not to talk of to sponsor it with your offering, you are working against the program of God. You are pitching your tents outside the camp of the Lord. That is the implication. You are an enemy of the progress of the gospel. Because such a product is inspired by an antichrist spirit. So when you say, hey, what's the arm in it? That's the arm in it. See, you don't own yourself. God owns you. And in the kingdom of God, he is organized. If you are indeed born again, if listen to my statement. In this church, we know the meaning of born again. If you are indeed born again, and God made this place your church, made this place your camp in the spirit, if you live here, you are outside his program. He himself will deal with you. Even if Pastor Moses comes and slaps you for no reason, and you leave, if truly you are born again, you leave when it's not God that asks you to leave, he will deal with you. You are working against his program. But we in this new type religion, you know, come, I'm free, I can do whatever I like. It's not so. The camp of God is organized. The camp of God is organized. Brethren, time will fail me to continue. I'm only challenging us this afternoon. God bears me witness. I was not planning to preach. On Monday or Tuesday, I was contemplating on calling a brother to exhort us. And I had a dream about this sermon. And I knew that, oh, maybe God wants to say something to somebody to help that person. I already preached last week. We have other preachers that could preach. So it's not an issue of, I had a dream about it, including the song. I said, okay, God wants to talk to somebody. Take a stand. If you must follow Jesus, follow him the old time way. Follow him with the old rugged cross. Follow him with the old time apostolic religion. Don't move with the crowd. Don't follow the famous and the popular. Follow the truth. Let us bow our heads and ask the Lord to give us grace. Is the old time religion? Is the old time religion? Give me the old time religion. Is good. Please talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Father, give me the power to follow you that old way. Don't let me follow you this new modern way.
Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Let him help our weakness. Let's return back to the old time religion to do the right thing.